Chapter 6.
Anzu drew his sword as the clearing erupted with shouts and clanging weapons. Six additional guardians had rushed the warriors from the surrounding timber in a furious surprise assault. The same moment, the swords of Big Red, Saul, Kalion, and Gabor exploded on the confused regiment. Anzu had never seen a guardian move with Gabor's speed. 10 warriors surrounded him and attacked. He laid waste to all 10 with a few effortless strikes. The 6 new guardians pushed back the rest of the warriors, allowing Big Red, Saul, and Kalion to rejoin their charges. Kalion whispered to Kalin, "Remember the ruler's words. Blessed are the meek. Be patient, tender-hearted, bearing with others in love." What had been a light breeze escalated to a howling wind.
"I'm sorry for what I said, Watson. I don't know where that came from."
She bowed her head.
"Yes, I do. It came from my arrogant self-importance."
Watson stood in silence. Kalin's regret welled up into tears.
"Please forgive me. I was wrong."
Watson's surprised expression warmed to a smile.
"I, too, apologize. You have much wisdom, Kalin, and I was a fool to dismiss your ideas. Please forgive me."
Several warriors began to panic when Kalin and Watson embraced, and the selfish, irritable mood the warriors had worked so hard to produce evaporated. Other warriors stood fast and attempted to entice the 3 friends to indulge in fruit. Evil thoughts, selfishness, pride, laziness, envy, deceit, greed, every nearby fruit tree. But no temptation took hold. Having walked with the driving gusts for the last several moments, the humans desired only real food now. In a final desperate attempt, one warrior shook a tree above Kalin, causing a large red apple to drop at her feet. With all his might, he tried to entice her.
"Just touch it. Press your toe on it to see how firm it is. Prove how much self-control you have. Pick it up, then throw it away."
Kalin's face turned red. Her jaw tightened, and with a powerful swing of her leg, she sent the apple into a stone, smashing it to bits. Laith grinned.
"I guess it's true. Walk with the wind, and..."
"And you won't want the fruit,"
shouted a voice from behind. The group turned.
"Bax! What are you doing here?"
Laith smothered Charles Baxter, the head server at the banquet hall, with an engulfing hug.
"After you left, my conscience bothered me. What kind of shepherd doesn't go after a lost sheep? I kept trying to tell myself, it's okay, those 3 can handle it. But finally I realized Abigail's eternal life is at stake, and the more help the better. So here I am."
"How did you find us?" Kalin asked.
"It wasn't hard. I came through the west entrance to the orchard and saw 3 sets of gigantic tracks in the dirt. The rest was easy."
The warriors retreated to the south like a horde of locusts driven by a hurricane. They covered a mile in a few moments, but Adramelech slowed when an alarming smell reached his nose. The Prince of Darkness, red with fury, stood before them.
"Hold."
The warriors stumbled to a halt, and all except Adramelech backed away. The prince's stench, which worsened when he was angry, all but disabled the warriors. Adramelech wheezed, eyes burning, as the prince approached.
"My lord, I..."
"You fool!"
roared the prince as he seized Adramelech, lifting him off the ground by his neck.
"Your idiotic incompetence has jeopardized this whole operation. I should crush your empty skull right now."
Adramelech clawed at the prince's fingers.
"I thought if..."
With a flick of his wrist, the prince sent the commander flying across the road and slamming into a tree. where he slumped to the ground.
You thought you could defeat those three with temptations of irritability and discord? Have you learned nothing? You can't take that approach with the humble. They'll repent moments after they fall, and that humility snowballs among the others.
Adramelech struggled to his feet. Then how?
Unbelief! This kind can be defeated only after their faith is weakened.
The prince turned to address the warriors.
Their trust in the ruler is an impenetrable shield. The only hope is to either destroy the shield or convince them to come out from behind it. You must undermine their confidence in the ruler and the cottage. Only then will they resist the wind. And only when they resist the wind will you have any chance against them.
The prince turned and pointed a gnarled finger at Adramelech.
You have fouled this up enough. I will take over this mission myself. Who's assigned to Abigail?
Adramelech gestured toward Lucius.
Approach,
the prince demanded. Lucius stepped forward.
Status?
I believe the hardening is complete. She shows no lingering signs of faith.
The sky dimmed. Kaelin sensed the clouds of judgment gathering on the horizon. Peering into the darkness, she gave voice to the mood of the group.
We have to find her. Soon.
I'll go into the city and ask around, Charles said. You three begin searching here. We can meet up this evening at the west entrance where we came in.
Watson, Laith, and Kaelin combed the orchard, searching for adult-sized tracks. Kaelin searched along the bottom of the ridge, Laith midway up, and Watson along the top.
Guys, I found something!
Kaelin stayed at the edge of the campsite to avoid disturbing it. Laith arrived first, then Watson.
It's her, Laith said. Lowlanders don't camp.
Watson examined the fire pit. Quite recently utilized, it seems.
Look,
Kaelin said, pointing to a set of footprints.
Not quite adult-sized, but bigger than any Lowlander prints.
Laith put an arm around Watson and squeezed his shoulder.
She's right,
he said with a laugh.
Those ain't Lowlander tracks.
With renewed energy, the friends followed the trail. Tracking was easy in the orchard's soft earth.
The course meanders, Watson said. That is a good sign. It indicates no specific destination and slow progress. Presumably, we should overtake her before dark.
Minutes later, Watson slowed. Then he stopped, knelt, and traced a footprint with his fingers. His head dropped. Then he looked up at Kaelin.
Tell me this isn't true.
Kaelin had noticed it a few minutes earlier, but didn't say anything, hoping it was her imagination. But there was no denying it. Abigail's tracks were shrinking.
They're still not as small as a Lowlander, Laith said. Maybe she...
Watson held up a finger and whispered.
Did you hear that?
Kaelin nodded. Their gaze bored into the woods in the direction of the sound. Footsteps. Kaelin spotted her first and went from surprise to delight to shock.
Abby, is that you? Watson said.
What was left of her hair, now gray, hung matted and clumped, and her bloated, deformed body scraped against tree branches as she stumbled through the forest. Vacant eyes receded into her scarred face.
I heard your voices,
Abigail said, expressionless.
What are you doing here?
We have come to bring you home, Watson replied. You are obviously malnourished. If we leave now, we will make the next banquet.
I can't,
came her flat, robotic response.
I'm imprisoned here. I've tried every path. Each one just leads out of one grove into another. There is no way out for me.
Watson drew close and gave her an unrequited embrace.
Kaelin smiled at the love of a brother who would not let the smell of his sister's open sores keep him from holding her.
Nor did he seem to take offense when Abigail's arms remained at her side. Releasing the hug, he took her hand. "Come with us." Abigail acquiesced. The group started on a direct westward course. Kaelin wanted to ask about Alexander.
Why did she go with him? Was it voluntary? If I ask, will she take it the wrong way?
What's the deal with Alexander?
Laith blurted.
Adam said you two were holding hands.
Abigail's eyes shot to Kaelin, then dropped to the ground.
I just couldn't go with Adam. You wouldn't understand. You don't know what it's like for me.
Watson drew close to Abigail as they walked.
Abby, we only want to... I don't want to talk about it.
Watson took her hand, and the group closed the distance to the border in silence. At the boundary line, Abigail stopped, as if she had run into an invisible wall.
Don't stop, Kaelin said. This is the border. You've made it. Come on.
Abigail appeared almost catatonic and stood motionless.
The men took hold of her arms and pulled, but she didn't budge.
She might as well have been behind iron bars.
Abigail sighed.
Every attempt to escape has been like this. I told you, it's hopeless. I'm hopeless. Look at me. Look what I've become.
She began clawing at her face, drawing blood.
Abigail, no!
Kaelin cried. Her stomach knotted when she realized the hideous deformities on Abigail's face had been caused by self-harm. Abigail turned back toward the orchard and began walking. Watson pleaded with her.
No, Abby, wait!
She stopped, but didn't turn. She spoke in a near whisper.
Charles always told me, walk with the wind, and you won't want the fruit. Now I understand. I resisted the wind, and now my heart is hopelessly enslaved to the fruit. I can't break free.
Laith stepped in front of her.
Take this.
He placed a cottage piece into her palm. The lettering on the piece said, "Do not become weary. At the proper time, you will have success if you do not give up. Consider him who endured such opposition, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that you are his daughter." Abigail held the piece for several moments, trembling. Then it slipped from her grasp and disappeared in the dirt at her feet.
If the ruler wants me free, why doesn't he give me the strength to leave? I've tried and tried. I just can't.
With that remark, Kaelin thought she heard a hint of life in Abigail's voice.
Maybe there is something left in her soul.
Laith placed a second cottage piece in Abigail's hand. He closed her fingers around it, then wrapped his hand around hers so she couldn't drop it.
You can do all things through the ruler who strengthens you. Your temptations are common ones, and the ruler will never let you be tested beyond what you can bear, but will always provide a way out so you can stand up under it.
You don't understand, she said. I have searched everywhere for the way out. I've pleaded with the ruler to help me.
Laith took Abigail's other hand in his and stooped to catch her downward gaze.
Don't just plead. Trust.
Yes, Kaelin added. If he promised to make a way out, he'll make a way out. You must believe that, because if you're not ready when that way comes, you'll miss it. I'm afraid I already have.
Abigail's lips quivered and a trace of color returned to her face.
You saw it with your own eyes when you tried to pull me out. Not even you are powerful enough to free me.
Of course we're not. But this is.
Laith turned to Watson and nodded. Watson stepped forward and presented her with a large piece of cottage wood in the shape of a sword.
The ruler instructed us to give you this weapon when you are ready to take it. It has freed thousands before you.
Abigail took hold of the heavy piece, both hands on the handle, dragging the tip in the dirt. Her awkward effort to swing it didn't so much as lift the tip from the ground. Kaelin and Watson exchanged a confused glance, then stepped forward to help her. With their assistance, the sword rose slightly, then dropped when they let go. Kaelin frowned.
It shouldn't be that hard. Something's wrong.